here in right in terms of Andrea J.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I please the court and counsel? My name is Shane Pluchek. I'm the attorney for the appellant. I'm Drea Jenkins. And I bring before you a case that resulted in a determination of my client's parental rights. And in contrast to the majority of these termination cases, my client, Andrea Jenkins, was not involved in any adjudication, was not involved in any disposition. The first time he was noticed into this case was in July of 2007, and he was terminated under 292 Subdivision 9, which is abandonment. And to provide a brief timeline, which I think is very important in this case, this child was born in 95. My client testified all along that he helped raise this child, took her through a significant number of medical issues until 97, when he was incarcerated for at around 18 years in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He paroled in March of 07. The Dodge County Court relieved HHS and the department, I refer to it as, of any reasonable efforts to effect reunification my client paroled in March around April of 07. So subsequent to my client paroling from jail, the department was relieved of any kind of effort at reasonable reunification or helping my client to reunify with his minor child. What I'm bringing before the court is kind of the greater question of what kind of rights, what kind of notice, what kind of substantive due process is the natural parent, such as Mr. Jenkins, entitled to.
And well, isn't one of the facts, though, that's important in this case is he wasn't considered the natural parent until paternity test was taken, because the mother was legally married to somebody else at the time of birth.
That is a very good point, Your Honor, because I think it was clear in my presentation of the evidence, and maybe it wasn't to the judge, but I think all parties knew that this guy, Andre Jenkins, was the natural father of this child. The initial PSW report, the Protection and Safety Worker intake, when the child was removed in EPC in 2003, indicated the natural father was Andre Jenkins. Every case plan and court report, including the first one, indicated the father is Andre Jenkins. I agree that there's a presumption that the legal father established because this child was born during wedlock, I believe. However, all parties knew Andre Jenkins was the father and where he was located, although he's never...
He was never put on the birth certificate.
No, he testified, Your Honor. That is accurate. He testified he was present during the birth. He was never put on the birth certificate. I would stipulate to that. I think that there was constructive knowledge that contradicted this presumption that Mr. Jenkins was the natural father of this child.
Well, in this day and age with DNA, I don't know how we can go on constructive knowledge. You know, I understand that your client was with the mother for a period of time, I guess a year, year and a half, but I mean, when she had some questions about it, apparently, and he did, apparently, I don't know how we could say that everybody knew about it. I mean, obviously that was the man that some people knew or was involved in the life of this child, but, I guess I don't track with that reasoning that everybody knew, therefore, which is that, called out the guard to find out, where he was at and what was happening. And we knew where he was at for quite a while, didn't we?
Sure.
He was in jail.
Right. Prison in South Dakota. And that's completely true. His address is listed on this case plan. One of the case plans, actually, I believe it was in 06, and the PA part testified during the hearing, there was a scratch in notation that said putative father. I asked her about that. She said that was her supervisor's handwriting. They knew before the DNA test was done in 2007 he was the father. It was indicated in their own handwriting on the case plan court report. I think there was some discussion about was child support going to pursue Mr. Jenkins and establish paternity, or was HHS going to go forward and incur the cost and establish paternity. Neither of these two organizations did.
Well, he gets out of jail and he goes to Florida. I know his testimony is that because he South Dakota and Nebraska apparently his parole was allowing to go to that state. Is that correct?
That is
those states.
That is that.
So that's the reason he went down to Florida.
He paroled in March of 07.
According to his testimony.
According to his testimony, that's correct. I believe he said.
What efforts did he make as soon as he got out of jail on parole to reestablish a relationship with his child?
For his testimony, which is the only testimony I think we have regarding this other than the CFR from HHS, He indicated when he paroled out, he began searching for his daughter. All parties indicated this. Heather Hall Brinker, the mother, was basically transient, moved around. It was difficult to find her. When he did find her, she indicated, this child is with me. She doesn't want to talk to you. Right.
Where were they when they were together?
They were in Nebraska.
Wouldn't that be a start?
Sure. I agree, Judge. That would be a start. His testimony was he was basically told, don't return to your old grounds where you have old friends with bad influences, for all the places where you have family and support in Florida. That's what he did. I agree. Most logical, and I'm sure Ms. Graycheck feels this way too on behalf of the state, would have been to return to Nebraska. His testimony is all that I am aware of that indicated, you know, I was basically through my parole contract encouraged to go to Florida. No one ever asked him, and this is where I get to more of the best interest, Your Honor, about no one knew anything about Mr. Jenkins. It was based on a therapist, the Navy Fed's testimony, that it's in this child's best interest, my client's right to be terminated. No one knew if my client was married, if he cared for other children, which he did testify, 3 stepchildren that he would care for, if he was employed. He did fly up to Nebraska for permanency hearing after he was served with a petition to terminate. And he did find HHS. HHS did not find him for the termination. When he did find them, Your Honor, basically contacted the case manager a few different times, she testified. She referred him to the county attorney's office in July of 07, and he was served shortly thereafter. So I think eventually he did find his child, but it took some time.
Counsel, I'd like to ask you about the ground for termination. This was a termination under subsection 9 for abandonment, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Do you view that there is any difference in the criteria for abandonment under subsection 9 than there is under subsection 9?
No, absolutely not. And I would say that
we can use the case law that's been developed under subsection 1 to apply to this case?
Yes. From my understanding of the case law, I cited In re Crystal C, which I believe was a case in this court just fairly recently, that used that subsection 1 and looked back 6 months. 6 months from July would take you back to while my client was incarcerated for about 2.5 months. I think that's an unfair application because that gives him basically 3.5 months to get out, track his daughter down, track Heather Hall Brinker down, and attempt to initiate contact, which he did. And upon initiating contact, there were no contact orders in place from the department and the Dodge County Court. We contested those no contact orders to allow him to have access to his child. He was denied to have access. We had a permanency hearing where he flew up from Florida to Nebraska. He went to a parenting assessment. And when I get to, was it in the best interest of this child that his parental rights be terminated, I refer to that parenting assessment. The only psychologist who testified, whose report is in the record, said, you know, there should be some contact, therapeutic or otherwise, between Andre Jenkins and his daughter. So I don't know if the court had adequate evidence before to determine it's not in this child's best interest to have any kind of relationship with her father. In fact, I think the expert evidence shows to the contrary, that he came up here, went to a parenting assessment, and the assessment said he could be an adequate father. And in fact, his testimony at trial indicated he is parenting other children, he's gainfully employed. He has a reasonable opportunity to parent his child, and that is the due process claim that I'm challenging. I would like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Counsel, please the court. I'm Jerry Graycheck, Deputy Dodge County Attorney for the state. I find it very interesting that the father, the appellant in this case, on the stand testified. There is a difference between being a father and being a dad. A dad teaches the youngster what they need to know. I think that's sort of his crude understanding of what it means to be a parent. What this court has recognized is what it means to be a parent. That a parent is present. They show care, love, protection. They provide maintenance and an opportunity to display parental affection. The appellant did none of those things during his child's life. He was present, according to his testimony, for 2 years. At first he said 2.5, and it was, well, maybe it was just 2. I would submit that it was probably less than that because this child, half-sibling, was born a month after the appellant went to prison in South Dakota, suggesting that perhaps there was another man in the mother's life, even prior to the appellant going to prison. He testified that the last time that he wrote her from prison was in November of 2003. He never paid child support. He never brought a paternity or custody action. The last time he had presents sent to her was in November of 2002. He tried to say it was November of 2005, but on cross, he had to admit that that was in November of 2002. He testified that he knew she was in foster care in Fremont in 2003. He did nothing to contact Health and Human Services. He did nothing to follow up on that, to find out where his child was and to make contact with her. He also said that he knew for sure she was a state ward in 2005. Again, he did absolutely nothing to contact the state and find out where his child was. When he was paroled in March 2007, did he come straight to Nebraska to look for this child that he knew had been a state ward? No. He moved to Florida. I don't know how he expected to reestablish any kind of a relationship with this child by moving halfway across the country. He made absolutely no attempt to reestablish any contact. Supposedly, he called the mother, asked to speak to the child. She lied and said she didn't want to talk to her. He seemed perfectly content with that answer. What was he going to do? Wait until this child turned 19, 20, 21, and then maybe, hopefully, reestablish some contact? He clearly abandoned this child. He intentionally withheld his presence, his love, his protection, his maintenance, and any opportunity to display any kind of affection for this child. As far as best interests go, the therapist testified, the therapist who had worked with this child for 2 years, testified that at her age she needed consistency, stability. She needed to be able to have that so that she could learn to trust somebody and express her independence and identity. She needed that and she needed it now. She didn't need to wait for the appellant to maybe get back together to go through some counseling, to have some kind of a long-distance visitation plan between Nebraska and Florida. She supposed that it might take at least a year to reestablish any kind of real relationship between this child and her father. We cannot wait for him to get his act together. This child was already 12, 13 years old. She needed to have permanency now. It was therefore in her best interest to terminate the parental rights of the appellant.
Did the child ever indicate that she wanted to reestablish or to reestablish her?
She indicated through the therapist, and I believe the caseworker testified as well, that she was interested in perhaps talking to her father, but not really having a parental relationship with him, probably more curiosity than anything else. She wanted to know who he was and maybe learn a little bit more about him. But she really had no knowledge of him except for the horrible things that her mother had told her. But no, she through the therapist and the caseworker said that she was not interested in him with her father.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I think that the state showed by clear and convincing evidence that the appellant did abandon this child for a very long period of time, certainly longer than 6 months prior to the filing of the termination of parental rights petition, and clearly showed, convincingly showed, that it was in her best interest for the termination to occur so that she can be adopted. I think that this court should therefore affirm the juvenile court.
Thank you. How much time does the appellate have remaining?
1 minute, 33 seconds.
Thank you. Just briefly, the court could understand my client, although much has been made of the fact that he paid the court, much has been made of the fact that he did not move to Nebraska. I think that when you look at the intent of Mr. Jenkins, it's clear that he did everything he could do while incarcerated as a layperson to try and involve himself in the system. As I indicated to the court in my final arguments in Dodge County, it's very complicated. I asked my client, why didn't you file your motion for leave to intervene? And the circuit court, all right, he didn't understand what I was talking about. The mother had 4 years of plans of rehabilitation and reunification with the daughter. My client never had one. He was never incorporated into any of that. And the Dodge County Court did raise that question about, I find it hard to believe that this man could never be tracked down and served, and so he wanted to terminate his rights. And then he found, you know, within a short amount of time. And in truth, my client found the department. My client is the only reason that he was served for the petition to terminate parental rights. This is different than the traditional abandonment cases. I think that his testimony shows he sent her gifts, he sent her letters, one of which was preserved and put into evidence. The attempted phone call, but the Heather Hall Brinker was very difficult to track down. And the parties have all discussed on the record, she didn't show up to the hearing on termination. She's a party that is nomadic, and it's very difficult for my client from prison and other states to track her down. I'll submit this on the record, and I'd ask that Your Honors would basically reverse the decision of the Dodge County Court. Thank you.
Thank you. Counselor Hughes, and the case is submitted.